This Beckner guy for sure sounds like he has a huge dick.
Yeah, but do you think because his hair resembles flames, he's kind of impervious to heat?
I'm in love with the other woman.
The moment I open my eyes in the morning, Alan says, "I'm sorry," which always cracks me up.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, episode 293 of the show. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for being a fan of the show. You guys are the best. Couldn't do it without you. Wouldn't do it without you. Could you imagine if we recorded this and no one listened to it? That's insane. Go, whatever you do, stop what you're doing right now. Pause this show. And if you're listening to this show in anything other than original speed, if you've got it on 1.5 speed, 2 speed, or half speed, kill yourself right now. Go to the garage, throw an extension cord over a beam, and stand on a stepladder and just hang yourself in the garage because you're a monster. But if you're not doing that, pause the show right now and whatever service you're listening on, unless you're one of these crazy people that actually goes to the website and listens to the show, whatever service you're on right now, just quickly go to this show page. Click. It's probably just one click right on the page you're on right now. Click it and then give this show a 5-star rating and then just a quick review and just go, "Fucking guy's awesome. This Beckner guy for sure sounds like he has a huge dick. He could probably do a lot of push-ups. I hope I never encounter him in real life because I know he can kick my ass. Ed Daly's also there." Something. Just something. Just say some shit about the show in fucking public. Okay? Joining me now, as always, it's Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Well, two things. First,
yep.
I'm on record. I'm a 1.5 guy.
I know,
because
you're fucking crazy.
Everything takes too fucking long. It takes too long. I want to hear what I want to hear, but I have too much. There's too much content in the world. We've talked about this. There's too much fucking Netflix. There are so many shows that someone's recommended to me that I'm not being disingenuous when I say, "Oh, I want to check that out," and then I just never do. Like there's too much, and that goes for podcasts too.
This is going to play right into your alley. I was with some friends and I was talking to my buddy Alan and he was like, "That what you just said reminds me of this podcast I listened to about the French Revolution." And I go, "That sounds pretty interesting."
Yeah.
I go, "That sounds pretty interesting." I love those hardcore histories. They're so good. I go, "But it's hard for me to jump into them because they're so long. Like this World War One is so interesting, but when it's 3 6-hour episodes about World War One, it's a lot." And he goes, "This one was like 24 parts." 24 hours on the French Revolution?
I did commit to the World War One thing.
Yeah,
of hardcore history, and I really enjoyed it. But
it's good.
Man,
so long.
I noticed that there are like three-hour episodes that I haven't gotten to about some other subject that I'd probably like, and I can't psych myself up to watch it.
My favorite,
listen to it.
My favorite book of all time, and now only because I'm on the spot, I'm just going to forget the guy's name. Bill
de Blasio.
No, Bill. Oh my God, he's
Bill de Blasio. How to run for president and get zero people like you.
And also, he's got a black wife. I would vote the fuck out of Bill de Blasio. He's fucking a Medicare for all guy. He's fucking super liberal like me, and he's got a black wife, but it's just not a white guy's time. You got to have some charisma.
The problem is, he's got zero charisma, and he's kind of, "I have a black family," the way Rudy Giuliani was 9/11 when he ran for president. Like, he's got nothing else.
That's his whole thing.
Has anyone seen my son with the afro? I want to show you my son with an afro. Okay. That was his thing.
That's so funny. Okay. You gave me a minute, which I needed to Google the book that I love. Bill Bryson is the guy's name, and all his writing is fantastic.
History of Everything or something?
Yes. He wrote this book called A Short History of Nearly Everything, and it's the perfect kind of book because it's incredible. It tells you everything about the fucking universe in an interesting – it's not a new book. It's an old book. In an interesting, because he's not a science writer, he's like an essayist. So he studied all this stuff, and then he goes, okay, here's how it goes. Here's how we're all gonna die when Yellowstone explodes, and here's how how fucking few dinosaur bones have actually ever been found. And he writes this book, and then it gives you just enough that you know a little bit about everything where you can have a fucking conversation with people and look like you know shit. That's what I need. I need the Cliff's Notes version of shit.
So I will tell you, my book that I shopped forever, and then I moved ahead with it.
Yeah, your history book.
I didn't know about this book.
Bill Bryson.
And my book was called The History of Everything, and then everybody's like,
there's already a book called that.
This has been done, but mine's not about science. Mine's about people. Every event that's happened,
it's about people. I love that.
That's from caveman to now, and nobody gets more than 130 words.
That's what I need. See, that is my. You wrote that for me.
It's gonna kick ass. It'll be out next year.
Yeah,
and it's currently being edited, which is like the part that just is gonna be sad, because. Yeah. You know when you feel like you've your done baby. Something great, and then somebody's gonna be like, "Yeah, this is like not great at all. This is terrible." Yeah. So that's where it's going right now. But that's what it's going to be about everything.
Fuck, I'm sold. I'm 100% sold because I don't know about shit, and I need someone that like you.
This book's going to help people have sex.
Right.
This is going to tell them about everything.
And you're a funny guy. You're a wit. We've talked about it before on this show that the flip side of Bill Bryson, A Short History of Nearly Everything, is maybe the smartest man ever to live, Stephen Hawking, a guy that also
a bit dry. He loved to fuck.
He left his, I think he was married three times. One time he to left his the nurse.
He left her though, right?
I think he left the nurse.
She wiped feces and he still was like, you know what? I gotta upgrade.
He's pretty smart. He used to get wheeled around to sex clubs all over the world so he could just watch people fuck because he was into sex. He wrote a book, and that book is only like 97 pages or 100 pages, and it's called A Brief History of Time, and it is unreadable. It's not – I'm not dumb.
I felt proud of myself. Yeah. I was like, I'm really soldiering through. I got to like – page 7.
That's same. All I can do. Same. Like you're like
it's awful. It's an awful book.
I can't retain any of this because you're like you look at it and you go, "Oh, this is a thin little thing. I'm just going to read this."
I'm going to be smart as fuck. I'll read
this. I'm going to be so smart.
No, it's real dense. Like there's dense and then there's that book.
So do we have a title?
No. Cuz
you got to come up with a new one.
But it's hoping after the editing process, I'm hoping for a eureka moment kind of thing. Like something will come to me, but I don't know. Right now it's just history book.
Yeah. It'll come to you in a dream for sure.
It probably won't. And then it'll just be like history book part one or, you know, some bullshit cut title, but I don't remember what you were talking. You were saying people who read, you know, listen to podcasts at fast speeds.
Oh, right. That's how we got into this. Yeah.
But then you were talking about making a noose, and I have always noticed in movies and television when people make a noose, I would not know how to make that. Like
100% agree with you.
That coiled noose?
Yeah. No.
I mean, when people, like the hangman's noose thing, I wouldn't know how to do it.
No, of course not. You would just do like a
rudimentary plug, you know, extension cord type thing. But I don't know how that noose thing looks very complicated.
Right. And the kind of noose you and I would do where we would just lasso something around our necks is the kind that chokes you to death in a very
yeah, long, not the prolonged, fun way that, like the non-break your neck kind of way.
Right. That's the whole point of that noose, is that it breaks your fucking neck right away, and you're just it's fucking dead quick.
So many coils. Yeah. I don't even
all
know,
the coils.
I don't even know where to start.
No, I couldn't. Hey, I wasn't a fucking Boy Scout, okay? I didn't want to get diddled.
You know, my dad.
And also, I don't pray.
Yeah,
your dad, the airline pilot. Yeah.
What?
Your dad, the airline pilot.
He was probably in the Cub Scouts when he was a kid, and so he had it in his head when I was a kid, like, "Oh, I did this; it was fun," and I did like 2 months.
Oh no! Yeah.
And like it was all about knots. That's all I know about. Yeah, it was like so knots, many knots, and shit, and also making that dumb car that
the Pinewood Derby.
Pinewood Derby, like, hey, if you put enough weights on the front of the car, it'll go faster downhill.
Fishing weights,
but it was really boring. And they gave you a book, and you had like tests. And I think before I got to my first test, I was like, man, there is a lot of shit about God and. There's like a lot of like studying here. I don't think I want to do it. And then I think it conflicted with like baseball or something. And I said to my mom, like, can you tell Dad this is my thing? And my dad wasn't passionate about it.
Thank
I think
God.
He just thought what he did as a kid, maybe he should put his son into.
Of course,
into.
The Scouts.
But like it was a real drag. Really,
it's awful. Luckily, I was never confronted with any like activities, or it just wasn't like in my fucking parents' realm of
that's
view.
Really a good thing,
right? But luckily, you were able to get out before the.
Oh, I never had to go. I've never been camping in my life. That seems like my worst nightmare.
Yeah, it's fucking well documented that I'm divorced. And my kids, they go camping with their mom and their mom's family.
Is she into outdoors kind of stuff?
Yeah. They like to camp. Mm. And my son, like they went on a camping trip not that long ago. And my son, I was picking him up for school and he was telling me about the trip. And he's like, and how it was fucking, they were just blown. They camp at the Colorado River, and that they were, it was so fucking windy. It was unbearable. And they just all had to stay inside their RVs or whatever the whole time. And I'm like, well, that sounds awful. And he's like, Dad, don't you like to camp? And I'm like, nope. And he's like, well, you used to go. And I'm like, yeah, I have been camping. And I'll tell you to a man, every single one of the worst night's sleep of my life have come while I was doing some form of fucking camping. I'm not doing it again. Fuck camping. I'm out. No more camping.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you.
Fuck it. Yeah, 100%. Okay, you got anything else?
I would never know how bad it is. I will never.
You've never camped. You've never camped?
Oh, fuck that.
Shut up.
No.
You've camped one time. You've slept in a tent in the woods somewhere camping.
No, I did sleep in a tent in a friend's backyard in like sixth grade. It was like, hey, we got a tent. We're going to sleep in the backyard. My mom and dad says it's okay. And just in suburban New Jersey, where there'd be like, I don't know, just like random noises, like an owl
brutal.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't like all the noises. No. What's
Who
going
does?
On back there? I
don't. Who does?
It's why Whoa. We have walls and doors. We don't want that.
When I was like 15, I was a juvenile delinquent, and I think my mom like sent up the bat signal to my dad in Arizona to like come like fucking straighten me out. So he came and picked me up, and we did like a camping trip up the coast of California. And it was fine. Like he didn't buy me any beers or anything, but we just like camped and cooked out, and just it was fun. It was nice. But one time we're like packing up. The camp stuff in like fucking Carmel or something. And I looked on the ground and there was like half a joint from whoever had camped there before me. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go on a walk or something. And you know how you're so dumb, you think that people aren't going to smell the weed. And so I like walked off and I smoked up this half a joint and I thought I was so slick. And then my dad had like gone to take a shower or take a shit or something. And he came back. He's like, you ready? I'm like, all right. And so we jump in the car and we take off and like, we're driving like a minute. And he's like, you didn't smoke that in my car, did you?
That's amazing. That is great.
I had completely forgotten about that until just exactly this moment in this discussion of camping.
That's terrific. Fuck camping.
Yeah. Fuck camping. That's, hold on. Remind me to name that the episode. This, a lot of times I have to think of something later, but so I'm just going to make a note right here. This episode is officially called Fuck Camping. So before we go on, do you have anything else, Ed?
No.
Have you seen Parasite?
Oh, is that good? I saw it got like a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. Is it horror though?
No. Well, I would say it has a Get Out vibe. So if you, I mean, I like Get Out.
I saw it's in my local theater. Because unfortunately, yeah, my local theater is five movies.
Right. So you don't get them all.
So it tends to be Marvel, just the most commercial.
The MCU. You're fucking inundated with the MCU over there.
Yeah, I really am. Captain Marvel was there for like 2 months, and I was thinking, even if I was inclined to go to a superhero movie, one with a boring, unimaginative name like that can't be good.
And also, Captain Marvel is abroad? I asked somebody who knows about comics, and I'm like, hey, Captain Marvel, it's abroad? And then he's like, well, he's like, in one of the Shazam crossover to Captain Marvel. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. Heard enough.
I like her in Room. That's the Room.
No, she's good. She's good.
But I don't need to see. Just think attractive. Of how boring it is, considering they couldn't even come up with a good name.
Captain Marvel. So Parasite is, I would say, good to very good. It's one of those things where I get too excited for something. I'm like, oh, this is going to be perfect. I'm going to love it. It's in Korean. Cool. It's in Korean. It takes place in Korea.
But we got to read the movie?
You got to read it. Yeah. It's subtitled. You got to read the whole thing. Yeah.
Sounds like something to hold until I get on the elliptical.
It's kind of long. But also like I was like having anxiety about something that was happening outside of the movie theater. So I think that kind of, cause it's like a little over 2 hours, I think.
My anxiety is going to be, I have to read for 2 hours.
It's
of a
good
movie.
Dude. No, you're going to want to see it. You're definitely not going to be bummed that you saw it, because it's, there's no other movies like it. It's a completely unique thing. I would say closest comparison would be Get Out or the Jordan Peele style.
Okay.
But it's completely its own thing. Not a perfect movie, but a very good movie. I would recommend it. Go see Parasite.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Hey, we have no voicemails this week. You fucking pussies. You don't fucking.
Even Manuel.
Yeah, Manuel. Where you at? You don't have any fucking freeway?
Doesn't he have? He has other monikers, right? Manny or
Matt in LA. Call us up, buddy. Let us know how you're doing. Also, Ish, my man, where you at? Reach out, player. Okay, but we can do some email, and for continuity's sake, we just got to set up the segment.
He's so easy to hate, your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck.
It's a great song. Brad, you're feeling creative. We could use some more segments here.
I need a sports. I've told this Brad in New York. I think he's mostly a Bachelor fan. I think that's how he, I know. I think that's how he came in to the world of, but I know he listens to the regular show also, because he's definitely commented, but I haven't heard from him in a while. And I told him I need a sports song. Where's Writes a Bill on this? I need a sports intro song I love My Name is Brian, but it's not really segment specific.
By the way, Twitter is how I've kind of interacted with people on this show. And for some reason, the notifications on the new app or something, I didn't knowingly update anything. I didn't check in a couple days, and then I had like 60, and it was mostly people shitting on me about Boogie Nights. But there were like people reaching out about random things.
Oh, and you missed them. You weren't getting the notifications.
Like, I don't check my notifications if I don't see that little number.
See, I'm the opposite. I don't get any notifications.
No, I'm not saying pop up. Like, I was on Twitter, but I never look at that little bell.
Oh, right. On the actual, in the actual app.
So anyone who reaches, like one guy reached out and was like, I'm in New York. Any recommendations for this? And I was late on it.
Oh, you piece of shit.
I'd like to be a nice person, but.
I'm sure he could have Googled John's on Bleecker. There's plenty of like. No,
I recommended the bar across the street from John's on Bleecker.
The
Blind Tiger.
Oh fuck, the Blind Tiger! I need to go there. I need to get to New York. Maybe in the spring. Okay, emails. Oh wait, the song.
He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. So annoying, plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do, and he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia. Whoa, he's Manuel in Gardenia. Whoa.
All right. Email. Hey, everyone. The stables have been alive with the sound of whinnies this week. Also, we recently added an office fish named Seabiscuit. I think this poor guy. I think
keep doubling down. I love it. Yeah.
I think you would be surprised at how many recordings I have to weed through to get you to the very best in horsey sounds. I'd also like to introduce a couple of new listeners from here in the office. Mike and Chuck.
Hey, Mike and Chuck.
That's a couple of fucking office guys. Like, have there ever been two more office guys than Mike and Chuck?
You'll never find a more solid office buddy than a Mike or a Chuck.
Yeah, it's like, honey, I'm going to be a little late Friday night.
Getting beers with Mike and Chuck.
Going out for a couple of cold ones after work. And she's like, oh, you going with Mike and Chuck? Yeah, of course. Going out with Mike and Chuck.
You know Mike and Chuck are salt of the earth. That's kind of when you name your child, you name your child some kooky name, it might not be salt of the earth.
Brexton. Mike and
Chuck, it will be.
Yeah, Brexton is not a guy that you're going to go have beers with after work. Mike and Chuck, you're going to go get a fucking couple of beers. And they're going to do that thing where like, nah, I'm paying the... You paid last time. I'm getting this. Let me get this tab. Because Mike and Chuck, they'll buy you a fucking beer.
Solid.
Yeah. Mike and Chuck are a couple of fellow wranglers that are just as awestruck and perplexed by the nays as me. Let me know if folks are getting sick of this. I realize the recordings may not be quite as magical as the live performances. They're pretty good. In one of these files. Oh, you know what? We might have an issue here. I think I may have downloaded the wrong files.
Hold, please. For fuck's sake.
Well, he sends them every week, and I just clicked.
But this is our best content.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. Just hold on.
One minute.
Fucking quick second here. And I'm going to see if I can fix this sitch. Yes, this is the one. Okay, hold on. There's a downloading situation we got to do here.
6131?
So Guys, for those of you that are not familiar, our buddy Dave in Rancho San Clemente. I assume Rancho San Clemente, Dave.
Where is that?
It's so you know, you're driving up the coast, you go past the Marine base, you're coming north from San Diego.
Oh yeah.
Big open space, and there's like Apache helicopters and shit flying around.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You pass that and you get to San Clemente. But Rancho San Clemente,
annoying about that
I think that's
area?
On the hill.
What's that? You feel like you're going to do a straight line and then it starts leading you inland. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of curves there, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly on the coast. You're mostly on the coast,
mostly,
but yeah.
But all of a sudden you feel like you're making progress and then you just start turning east.
Well, sounds like you're kind of talking about my neck of the woods where, going up the coast and then you fucking turn in like kind of towards the mountains for a while.
Yeah. Last summer I was a little bummed out every time I had to turn east. I was like, hey, I was hugging the ocean here.
It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice fucking running it up the coast like that. Okay.
Beautiful.
Now I got to find. See, he sends these in a zip file and I'm dumb.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I know zips have been around since my old American Express job where I was in the finance department. I had to like send things on zips and I never totally understood what was going on.
Well, back then
it was like big files to fit.
Yeah.
But I never knew exactly what was going on. I just knew how to deal with certain zip issues, but I don't. And that's kind of the premise of the Pied Piper, right?
Right. Compressing.
I just don't get it.
Compressing it. How hard is it to watch Silicon Valley now, knowing that it's definitely it's definitely not as good without TJ Miller, who is probably a crazy person, but he's very good on the show.
He seems like awful to work with.
Yeah.
Richard by Conan.
Yeah,
and
he
Conan
fucks.
didn't want to ask him about fucking.
That's the first thing I'd ask. I hear you fuck. Like, I was reading a thing this week, and it seems like you really like to fuck, Richard. Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah, in that name.
I picture, like, he should be more handsome if he wants to be out there fucking, right?
I remember when the quotes came out about that story. And he was unapologetic. And I feel if you're ugly, you should be at least a little bit apologetic.
I sort of agree. Like, I'm sorry that I want to fuck so bad.
Sorry, I love fucking so much. Because I get it. I get it. Most people don't think of me as a sexual being.
At all.
But, like, he wasn't even slightly apologetic. He was just like, I fuck. It was weird.
Okay, we have the sounds here. So, back to it. If you're new to the show, like Mike and Chuck, this guy Dave in Rancho San Clemente, he's got a guy in his office
they're baiting him at this point.
If you clear your throat, and if you work in an office, the fucking throat clearing in an office is off the fucking chain.
It reaches a crescendo.
Totally. You don't realize how often people are clearing their throat until you fixate on it. And a way to fixate on it is have somebody who subconsciously makes a horse whinny every time somebody clears their throat. So he says here, in one of these files, 6131, there's what we in the horse whinny recording business call an aftershock. So let's check this one. 131, I got the volume up all the way because these are kind of tough to hear sometimes. The aftershock. Well, that just kind of sounded regular.
It sounded good. Every regular. I liked it, but it sounded regular.
Yeah. It's, you know, some of them, you got to get the full, it's hard to get the full experience. Okay. And then he says, bonus. On file number 6311, you can hear the person recording.
Wait a second. Don't these go and does this mean he's made 200 recordings?
Yeah. Well, no, because there's one that starts with a 5 number, too. On bonus On file 6311, you can hear the person recording it almost spit coffee across the room. Okay, one more time. Okay, here's another one. Oh wait, it started in the middle. That was a lady, right? Like I like it when they involve.
That doesn't sound like a Chuck or a Mike.
No, I like it when they involve the women in the office in their shenanigans. Let's sure. hear that one again. Now, people may not realize, but he didn't immediately whinny. And so the instinct would be.
But they knew they were getting it. They knew.
Right. Right. The instinct would be to goose it again because it was kind of some dead air in between her throat clear and the full horse whinny. But she's a pro. She's done this before. She goes, oh no, it's coming. Relax. You're going to hear it. Fantastic work. As always, Dave in Rancho San Clemente, you are the man. Thank you for that.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Fucking that Bill. He can really sing. Writes a Bill. Make us a sports song.
He's got the skills.
Maybe Huey Lewis sports. I don't know. Something.
Oh, but not that song. This is it.
That's a later album. That's a later album.
This is maybe it.
Awful. Horrible. I Want a New Drug. Maybe you can do a sports. That's off that album.
Ray Parker stole that motherfucker. He's like, I need this.
Who are you going to call?
Yeah, there was a whole lawsuit about that. Yeah. Or was it they asked Huey? He's like, nah, I'm not about that.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, cool. We're just going to get this generic guy to sing the song.
Yeah, they wanted to use the song. And Huey wouldn't let him use the song for some reason. And they're like, we'll just have Ray Parker Jr. do it. Although Ray Parker Jr., he's known for the Ghostbusters theme, his original hit, I'm in Love with the Other Woman, is a fucking bop. Throw it on right now. You will not. I'm in love with the other woman. You don't know that one? My life was fine. Here, let's get it on the YouTubes quickly. See if
there's gonna be an ad. You know there'll be an ad.
No. Hold on. YouTube. Ray Parker. So slow. I'm using these fucking 20-year-old. Computers here. Might need a GoFundMe for fucking new podcast studio. Okay, hold on. Just now populated. Okay,
we're Ray. Picking mid-80s generic people's hits. I'll go Easy Lover, even though it involves Phil Collins.
It's a jam.
No, Philip Bailey from the Commodores. Yeah. Yep. That's a jam.
I'm sure we've mentioned before. Friend of the show, Travis Rogers, went to kindergarten and maybe elementary school with
Philip
Bailey's son.
Huh. Yeah, because Sir. Philip Bailey was in the Commodores. He wouldn't be in Travis's.
No. Philip Bailey's son, Sir.
Sir Bailey.
Sir Bailey. Okay, let's see if this works. Oh my God. So slow. Here it comes. Is there an ad? Yes. Where is it? listen to a bop. Are you saying you can't hear it? Is that why you said uh-oh?
No, because I was hearing the beat. It was kind of a bummer.
Oh, no. This is fire. I'm in love. This is fucking straight up 80s right here. With the other woman. Stop it. My life is fine. This is him. This is a fucking... This is an ode.
This sounds like fucking Toby Keith music.
This is an ode to side piecing. He likes to fuck. Ray Parker Jr. likes to fuck.
I know he does. I mean, clearly so he much, likes to fuck.
He likes to fuck so much, he's got to write a song about how much he likes to fuck his side piece. Hold on.
They replaced him. I was fine till she blew my mind.
Oh, shucks. I'm just the average guy. Average guy that likes to fuck. Fool around a little on the side. Yeah. Side piece never happens. Never thought it would amount to much. Never met a girl whose love was so tough. She fucked so good. She fucked so good. Turned to such a hot romance. Yeah. Okay. It's a bop. Fucking consensus is in. Ray Parker Jr. It's called The Other Woman. Is a fucking bop. Okay.
I'll say I bit my tongue twice in the last day. So there's certain words that are like hurting my mouth. Yeah. It's not good. Because once you bite it, then it's asking to be bitten again.
No, it sticks out and keeps getting bitten. And then, or no. So I get it on the side of my mouth. And so then
I'll get that too. But I just got a tongue yesterday and then I did it right before the show started. So I'm kind of there. I'm learning which words use the front right part of my mouth.
Interesting.
I'm not feeling great.
I do a thing where I eat like the fucking legend Guy Fieri. I don't have my mouth isn't fucking calloused like his. So I'll try to do some Fieri shit like with an egg roll. And I'll go, "Oh, I know this is too hot to eat. I can feel it in my fingers that this is too hot." But I'm going to go for it anyway because I'm going to be a fucking hero. I'm going to win
but do you
some
think
shit.
Because his hair resembles flames, he's kind of impervious to heat.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like Heat Miser.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like Heat Miser.
Exactly. Yeah, that guy.
Okay, Ed. What's going on in the world of sports?
So Mitt Romney got on the right side of history and backed the college athlete compensation. That's being kind of proposed, but clearly the NCAA is going to drag their feet for a few years.
Of course.
But he does warn, we can't have some athletes driving around campus in Ferraris.
Why not? You're not allowed to have a certain kind of car?
I mean, he grew up rich. I don't know if he had a Ferrari, but that guy has always been driven around in good cars.
He's rich as fuck, and somebody gets money.
Why can't we? What? Yeah. What's the downside here?
I mean, it's I don't. There, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading into this. It seems to me that there's a racial component.
Seems
to old
like it.
Mitt's comment.
And if you're on the fence about what you think Mitt is doing, just watch him blowing out birthday candles and you know this guy is on one side of everything. He's very stiff.
Yeah.
He does things.
Yes. He's extremely stiff. I say get a fuck. Hey, you want a Ferrari? Get you a fucking Ferrari. What do I give a fuck what kind of car somebody has?
I would question if that's the right purchase because the college endorsement money is going to be like $100,000. It's not going to be $20 million for almost everybody. So Ferrari would be kind of excessive, but go ahead.
It is weird though. And this is why you have to question certain people's motives. Because there are the same people that are like, let the free market decide. Capitalism, markets, fucking don't, we can't get in the way of, we can't regulate these things. As soon as somebody that's a different race than them might be on the come, they go, oh, well, we can't have one guy making $10 million.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Come on. Yeah,
you can't have one guy on the team make $3 million and the fucking other guy make nothing. You can't have that. Yeah, why not?
How is the backup lineman supposed to feel? That's kind of how life goes.
What about the fucking girls' field hockey team? What about them? Go to fucking class. Who gives a fuck?
Right. Okay. I understand in just a general sense, if the football team takes tickets for the game and uses that to pay their players, it does create an issue sometimes with the non-revenue sports. So if they want that model, that's one thing. But nobody should be getting in the way of these guys getting paid for working for the local car dealer in an ad or something like that. Like, nobody has an argument for that on the other side. You could say, and it's still kind of bullshit because Clemson build, you know, or Oregon, everybody builds these facilities that clearly these departments are flush with money. But even if you say, hey, if we do this, there's no money for the track team. Okay, so then you can't. But nobody can argue a car dealer advertising Santana Moss back in the day, like that kind of stuff.
No, there's
paid what people are willing to pay you. That's life.
Yeah, that's what fucking these same people preach. And also, I had another fucking thought and I lost it.
Sorry.
I lost my thought. No, yeah, I was making my point,
I was thinking about my tongue.
Yeah.
I'm noticing trying to avoid parts of my tongue.
Now I'm noticing the tip of my tongue has a thing happening.
It's a problem.
I think I'm a
fucking tongues.
I grind. And so I sleep with the bit in my mouth.
Yep.
And I think sometimes I get the tongue in there and I'm still grinding it.
Yeah.
I'm grinding the actual tongue.
Yep.
Anyway, what's next?
We've talked about this sort of issue over the years. Yeah. Of LeBron's hair plugs fell out during the Lakers game, and Anthony Davis had to kind of give a shout from the sideline, hey, fix your headband, because things are coming
out. So let's get the, like, you're on the right track there, but let's get the hair system terminology correct here.
Does he have plugs. GLH formula?
It's similar, but what it is, it's a glue-on hairpiece, Costanza style. But what they do is they just apply, and I think in the picture you can actually see the glue. He'd like sweated through the glue.
I saw the video and it's a quick cut.
Yeah. Yeah. What they do is they take a little rubber cement and they swat, you know, like you used to do in third grade. They take a little of that rubber cement and they swab it on the head and then they press down a piece of that green felt that you used to cut to make the grass in a diorama.
It's
the black man's hair version and they glue that down and it's like a made to order thing. It probably goes like a few days and then he's got to go back to the place and they fucking rip it off. They clean off all the old rubber cement and then they lay down a new patch of rubber cement, glue the thing. He's pretty rich, so they probably come to his house.
They don't have athletic version of this?
Well, they must, but maybe he got it to that, like the glue hadn't cured. So maybe he got it too recently for the game. Cause you know, they're probably like, this needs to set up.
Right, you can't sweat for 48 hours.
Yes.
Yeah, game.
Yep, that's what happened. And let's be honest, that image was super gross looking. It was like a matted up thing on his head with the glue all mashed in there. It looked real gross.
And the thing about him is he's not Shane Battier with this lumpy head.
Or Scott Pippen.
He's got a pretty normal looking head and look.
He's a handsome bastard.
Yeah. Like, but I'm saying a very proportional head. There's not.
Yes.
What?
Just shave it, buddy.
And nobody.
No one's going to notice.
We've been talking about this for years. Being bald is just fine. So what could he buy? Why does he need this?
Yeah.
It reminds him that I've got something he needs.
You got a fucking amazing head of hair.
No, but a guy like Bruce Willis doesn't need the hair. He doesn't care about the hair, and he's doing fine. But LeBron, guy who's in the conversation, he might not be Jordan, but he's in the conversation. Yeah. He wants something that only I have that he can't have. It's crazy.
You know Bruce, like when he was really thinning after moonlighting.
Like when he was really doing the Seagram's Golden Wine Cooler.
Yeah, Golden Wine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's wet and it's dry. He was doing those. You know, he was like, here's the issue. I am getting way too much ass right now. I got to get a different car because my convertible, I can't fit the boat oar in it that I need to bring with me to bat away ravenous hordes.
I even endorsed wine coolers hoping it would drive people away, and I still can't keep the women away.
Yeah, I've done everything. Look at this. I'm playing a harmonica and they're still trying to grab my dick. I've made an album of my harmonica blues.
Bruno. I'm calling myself Bruno.
I call myself Bruno. Like, I'm just getting too much ass over here. And I get it. Like, when I was a bartender in Manhattan before I got my big break, I got a lot of ass then too, but I had my hair. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to just shave the head and then I won't get so much ass. And it flipped on him. He started getting more puss. Yeah.
And he got Demi in her prime.
Oh my God. What a babe.
By the way, just
next level babe. Yeah.
I always put sports on while we're doing the podcast and there's college basketball. There was a commercial for Norwegian Cruise Lines. And we both are of similar mind with cruises. One of their selling points is one of our cruises has the musical Footloose. That's a selling point. Like, do you want a movie that's only passable in certain moments because of Kevin Bacon, but without Kevin Bacon, and instead with some jazz hands guy?
No. Also, Laurie Singer.
Oh yeah.
And Lithgow, like they're not there.
Is Penn? What's his name?
Michael.
Not Michael.
Not Penn. Michael Penn. Chris Penn.
Chris Penn, who's RIP, right?
Yeah, he died. Fucking heart condition.
Here.
And also cocaine, probably.
I was going to say, I think there was something dancing on that heart.
So he was such a fucking talent, by the way. Watch Reservoir Dogs. He's amazing. Yeah, he's so good. So fucking good. I ain't talked to him.
Are you talking about my daddy? All right. Rutgers softball players say they were physically and emotionally abused by... Now, it's sad, but we come to expect this kind of thing in college athletics. But here's the thing that jumped out to me. By wife/husband coaching team. There's a couple coaching sports together. Can you think of a worse fate?
No. I seem to recall that my sister, when she was in high school, she was a cheerleader, and there was a husband and wife cheerleading coaching duo, and it was a similar situation to this softball situation. It's just a bad combination. You can't have that.
You cannot. That's no husband and wife should work closely together anyway. I'm still shocked when Jim Gaffigan works on his routine with his wife, how that possibly works, but it works because
it works for them.
He's great, but it shouldn't work. And if you're gonna recruit an athlete and be like, yeah, the wife and I are going to coach you together. No. No way.
No. 100% no. Out. 100% out. Okay.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now.
non-sports segment.
Ed, what's happening in the non-sports world?
Pretty straightforward headline. Man who said he saw Yogi Bear in Yellowstone turned out to be meth dealer.
Yogi Bear was the meth dealer? Like, I mean, he saw Yogi Bear.
Here's the thing. And he bought some meth from him? Be like, buddy, you got it wrong. He said he saw Yogi Bear in Yellowstone. We all know.
Jellystone.
Yogi was in Jellystone. So
yeah,
clearly he was on meth. So it was kind of a bullshit story.
I used to get pretty fired up for that Yogi Bear Christmas special that was like a ripoff of The Grinch.
Yeah, where the there was like this like bearded dude on the mountain.
Yeah. He was like a hermit or something, lived up on the mountain. Yes. He wanted to fuck up Christmas down at the lodge.
I did enjoy it. It was good.
Back in the day where you had to bust open. We didn't get TV Guide in the Beckner household. You had to look in the newspaper.
Yeah, and around Christmas time, I was not always reliable with the newspaper. I would just be flipping channels.
Yeah. You're like, oh, the Rudolph thing comes on around 7.
Right. But I'm not sure if it's Sunday or Monday or next Sunday.
You got to check every night.
You'd see it in passing when you're watching NFL and you'd be like, oh, Rudolph is this Sunday.
Write it down.
Next Sunday? But Yogi was kind of a hidden gem.
It was because it wouldn't be on a network. It was like a Channel 9 situation, Channel 13.
And to be honest, Yogi kind of sucked, but I liked his crew. Augie Doggy and Doggy Daddy. Snagglepuff, Puss.
Yeah.
There went my tongue. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Yes. He had a pretty good crew of dudes.
I love his dudes.
Yeah. Totally agree with you. Miss that. I'm sure now the kids these days, they just fucking throw on the iTunes or the Netflix or whatever. Like everything's available. They can watch it in July.
Even in the old format, they've got something they can record on a DVR. There's no time in anything.
There's
no timing anything.
No, it's just it's fucking an on-demand world. That we live in.
Well, there's somebody who's not in a fan of the on-demand world. Conservative radio host compared the term boomer to the N-word. He said, you cannot call us boomers anymore.
I mean, that's the actual name of that generation. It's just an accepted term.
It is. The reason why it's a pejorative term is because they are a pejorative generation.
Yeah, and they don't like that it now denotes the fact that they fucked up the world.
Us. Right, they failed us.
They did a shitty job with their stewardship.
Because of you.
Yeah.
Why isn't the environment fucked? Because of you. Everything.
Yes.
Fucking
all of it.
Get out of here, boomers.
100%. Totally agree with you. It's the actual name of a thing. You're called that.
Yeah, I've got a woman that would probably be near and dear to your heart. Indiana woman died with a python around her neck when they checked out her pad. 140 snakes in the house.
Now I saw this. I saw this in a couple things.
It's a lot of snakes.
A couple things stuck out at me. Firstly, one of the things I read, because a lot of people sent me this on the Twitter. Any snake news pops up, people be letting me know about it. And so this one of the things I read said there were 140 snakes in the residence, 20 of which were hers. So to whom did the other 120 snakes belong?
Do you think, you know how like people get tired of their pets and they're like, oh, I'll just go drop this turtle off at the local pond or whatever it is. Do you think anyone with a snake within a 30-mile radius is like, just slide it onto her door? She doesn't know what
the she'll take care of it. She'll take care of it. Here's the other thing. Snakes eat like once a month. They're pretty efficient animals. They'll get something, strangle it, swallow it, and then they'll just hang out and digest it for a grip. Takes a lot of energy to digest a whole animal. So maybe if you don't want your python to get around your neck and choke you out, maybe you toss it a bunny. Or a fucking chicken. They're not too picky.
Did I ever tell you about the time I had a pet fish?
I don't think so. Was it called Seabiscuit?
My favorite fish on earth. Right after college, I think Michelle got a little fish. Thought it'd be nice to have.
Yeah. Was it a beta?
It was probably like a beta. One of those ones that'll murder itself if you give it a mirror.
Yeah, exactly. It's a killer.
But we had a little fish, and then 8 months out of college, we wanted to go on vacation somewhere.
You flushed that fucker.
And we didn't know what to do.
Yep.
Like, we don't have somebody to feed our fish. We just moved here. Like, I don't know. There was a pet store a few blocks away called Fins and Feathers. So I just took the thing. And I just, while the person was like helping someone in the back, I just put it on the counter and ran. So the guy came back to the counter and just found a fish there. And then I was at a bar like a year later talking to somebody about Fins and Feathers. And I was like, hey, so what do you do if like somebody drops off a fish? And he's like, oh, we just kill those right away.
Because it could have diseases.
Yes, he's like, we're not going to put it back in any tanks. We're just going to murder it right away. So, yeah, he murdered it for us. But I felt like I was doing something.
That similar story didn't happen to me, but some buddies of mine, they got – one of them came up on a kitten while they were, like, in college. And they were all hanging out, getting stoned, and the landlord was, like, knocked on the door, and she's like, hey – I heard you fucking guys got a cat. The other neighbor told me. And they're like, what? No. And the landlord's like, you need to get rid of that fucking cat. There's no cats here. That cat's got to go. And they're like, what do we do? So they hatched a plan. They're like, there's that pen of kittens in the front of the pet store over there by Ralph's. What if we just ran up and just flung it? Into the pen of kittens. They're not going to know the difference between this kitten and the 12 other kittens in there. They all look kind of the same. They're about the same size. Let's go do it. And they got their courage up. And they're like, all right, we're doing it. And they headed out. And as they were heading out, like some girls they knew came by and they're like, where are you going, guys? And they told them their plan. And the girls rightly put a stop to it. And we're like, no, we got a place. We'll take it to our mom's house or something. We'll take the kitten.
Because you know what? That cat would have been murdered too.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. Pet stores, they don't care about the animals at all.
Henry Rollins has lots of stories about working at a pet store in D.C. Growing up. Where it was just death. Just nothing. Just death everywhere. All you see is fucking death.
Now, here's a story that's kind of sad and judgmental. Drunk man pleads guilty after he's caught trying to have sex with a pile of leaves. Now, leaves that fall off a tree, they're already dead, right?
Yeah, no harm, no foul.
I mean, he's giving them a different lacquer. He's giving them a different finish, but...
They're
dead already. It's not, he didn't fuck the leaves off the tree. He's just, they've fallen off the tree and he found a different purpose for them before they get taken away.
Yeah, I feel like this guy, he gets a decent lawyer. He's walking off scot-free.
Has to.
Yeah, it can't be illegal to fuck leaves.
Right? I mean, that's natural. He's at one with nature. I mean, isn't that kind of why Walt Whitman's famous? It's about being...
Leaves of grass.
Yes. What do you think Leaves of Grass was about? About fucking right. pile of grass.
Yes, fucking grass. Now, the problem is I'm allergic to grass, so I can I definitely could not fuck grass.
Yeah, it would, but it would be a toxic relationship.
Yeah, it's well, I get it hasn't happened. It's mostly when I roll around in grass, like I can be by grass or even on grass. But if I really like if I'm, you know, it's like when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
No, when you're playing like some Smear the Queer or some tackle football out in the
I thought like, you know, last week you're like, yeah, I rolled in the grass.
Hasn't happened. Okay. But I get really inflamed and I have to go immediately like take a cold shower and like wash off all the grass. And so imagine that situation, but on your dick, in your balls, in your inner thighs.
Right. That dude needs to take a cold shower too.
In your asshole. Because I'd be like, oh, I was fucking this grass. I don't know how so much of it got up my ass. This grass is very handsy.
Well, it's a little bit irresponsible of the writer, Hannah Frischberg. She doesn't even tell us the type of leaves. But it was
here's the problem.
Here's the problem. It was noticed by workers at the Premier Inn. I think Premier Inn. I think that might be in the Quality Inn family.
Yeah, that's a doors to the outside establishment. You never want to be doors to the outside. You want doors to the inside. You want to go in a door and then go in an elevator and then go in another door. You don't want to go get your key, go out of a door and go up some stairs in through another door. Doors to the outside is a fucking hard pass. That's a rule.
Here's a quote. Unsurprisingly, this is related to some information that he took drugs ranging from cocaine to cannabis and alcohol. He cannot explain.
Don't see
his
a problem.
That was his defense. Yeah. He cannot explain his behavior. He's entirely embarrassed. But I mean, but his name is public, and I'm looking at his Facebook profile shots. Nice enough looking guy.
You know he's getting a lot of texts from his boys, like, "What up, Leaf fucker?"
Hey, Leaf Erickson. What are you up to?
There you go. Leave Garrett. Like, sing me a song, buddy.
Whoa. Oh, this is the UK. He paid a $158 fine. So fine, if somebody said, pay $158 and just, we'll just be done with this whole thing. Served 8 weeks in jail.
That's too long. That's way too long.
What?
That's too much. Yeah, that's too long.
Yeah, they quoted a magistrate. Anytime you're dealing with something called a magistrate.
Yeah, you're in trouble. You're fucked.
Delta took out same-sex love scenes to the movies Rocket Man and Booksmart. So somebody's going to watch the movie Rocket Man.
Well, this
not
they
expecting
do this.
To see a gay love scene?
I remember it was a big deal. I mean, you saw Rocket Man. I
warned you. I warned you.
One of the great services that you've done, because I was like, oh, I'm going to go see this Elton John movie. And then you're like, oh. You know it's a musical, right? And I was like, oh, I'm not going to see it now. I will not see that movie, Rocket Man. But they do that. They edit. The big one I remember was Rain Man, because Rain Man, they had that whole thing about Qantas has never crashed and this fucking Raymond knows everything about planes that have crashed. And if you take that out of the movie doesn't really even make sense, because that's what spurs them to go like on their gambling spree.
Right.
And but they would show that on planes back in the day, and they don't on a plane, they don't be talking about plane crashes. Now, I saw Booksmart, and I would put it like in the C categories. Okay.
Oh, I read great things. I just didn't see it because, like I said, my movie theater kind of plays just Marvel movies.
It was okay. It was, I mean, it's exactly the same as Superbad. It's the same movie.
I like Superbad,
except
though.
With girls. You know, it's good. It's okay. It's fine. But the sex scene in that is a lesbian sex scene. And the one girl in the lesbian sex scene, I think, is like some kind of model. Like, she looks like a young Cindy Crawford, but she's got like the puffed up lips and shit. She is banging. That you don't want to see that movie without that sex scene. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Well, Delta, do not edit our life. Oh, by the way, I had to fly JetBlue recently, and the whole draw on the flight is you're going to watch ESPN. If nothing else, you just watch sports.
Yeah.
But they had some movies. They didn't have headphones, and all I have are headphones that go to a modern iPhone.
Yeah.
I didn't have the jack.
Yeah.
What?
Well, what's you got to bring those?
What?
You got to bring those along.
I just forgot that there's a world where I can't use regular. I mean, who uses those old headphones?
Nobody. I got the Bluetooth. I got the AirPods.
I don't have those yet because I just can't talk myself into getting them because I know I'd lose them.
I know. I have friends that have lost like five pairs. Mine are intact because I'm an adult. Yeah, they're like $150. But I do, when I go on a plane, I bring headphones. I bring these headphones that I'm wearing right now to do this show.
I just didn't think about it.
Yeah. Okay, let's blast through the rest of these stories and get to the sauce.
Utah boy wore a Nazi costume to school. The school's principal and kid's teacher have been placed on leave for doing nothing about it. How do you not do anything about it?
How do you...
I mean, I get it.
Where do you get the Nazi costume?
It might have been a homemade job.
Could be. That's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Buffalo Wild Wings asked a group to move because a customer didn't, quote, want black people sitting near him. Staff has been fired.
I don't know where this occurred, but I'm gonna say that it was
not gonna be the state you think.
I'd say okay, either Oregon or
Oregon has like 1% black people. So it would be very odd that there would even be black people in them.
Well, but it was, you know, we know the history of Oregon. Then, but also I could see this happening in Arizona. I don't really see it happening in Texas, but I could see it, you know, any of the Louisiana over and above there. And then also like the Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, not Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas area, I could see it being in there, like in that general region that I'm describing.
Near Chicago.
What? It's mostly black people there.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but
crazy.
The fact that the restaurant, anyone consider it, yes, all of them need to be fired. That's not something you consider. Well,
no, it's crazy.
We don't want to piss off one guy. Then finally, it's just kind of a bummer when somebody's name gets dragged through the mud when they had nothing to do with it. Elephant named after Osama bin Laden tramples five villagers to death.
I mean, it's a weird...
I mean, what did he have to do with it? Like now,
but
now on his head, he has five Indian villagers killed? He had nothing to do with it.
Well, is that one of those names like Muhammad Ali? Or it's a common name. It's just not common here.
Oh, he was named after Osama bin Laden.
He was.
I mean,
he's probably mad.
He's probably about mad being that he born under a bad sign. Whoa.
You know, if an elephant wants to fucking trample some villagers, there's not really a lot you can do to stop an elephant from trampling people. It's similarly, there was this white tiger. He lived in Las Vegas, and his name was Montecore.
The hero.
And one time, he was on stage. He was a performer. And one time, he was performing, and he's like, instead of performing, I think I'm going to eat somebody's throat. And you know what? You know what? He did that. He was able to accomplish that because you know why? Because he's a fucking tiger. A tiger can fuck some shit up. Yeah.
Well,
they weigh like 500 pounds. They will fuck you up.
Along those same lines, the one thing we know about that elephant in 9/11, never forget.
Yeah. they don't forget. They do not.
They forgot.
Good memory. Good memory on those suckers. Okay, Ed. It is time. Joining us now is our very own pop culture correspondent. She jumps in here every week.
The delight.
To give us the deets on what's popping off in the world of celebrity news, gossip. What's Johnny Depp up to? What's somebody else doing? Of course, I'm talking about fans.
Let's not call it gossip. That's very reductive. This is the news.
It's Fancy
just
Sauce
news.
Is here.
It's just news. Yeah,
it's just news.
She's okay. Giving us the straight news. How are you, Fancy?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
Okay. All right,
fantastic.
I heard some yelling when I was out of the room.
What kind of yelling? What kind of yelling?
You yelled something loud.
I don't know. I mean, it's okay. Just doing my show.
Not
I
get,
a I get, sounded like you were getting in a fight.
I get kind of animated when I do the show here. That's my thing.
He was giving a full-throated defense of Osama bin Laden, the elephant.
Now, Ed, you wrote a book about history. Remember Osama bin Laden? Didn't they collectively, the news media, agree to change the spelling from Usama?
Yes.
Because it was like USA. It was USA.
Yeah.
MA.
I mean, it's kind of like the spelling
of Hanukkah.
Or is
that an urban myth?
It's kind of like the spelling of Hanukkah that it doesn't have an English spelling, so it's interpretive. But I think it used to be interpreted as Usama.
Oh, because it's a different alphabet.
Right. So it's just whatever English interprets it. But yeah.
Obama would always say Usama.
And they would also, I always hated how Obama would call it ISIL. Can't we just stick with ISIL?
Daesh.
Yeah.
Why would we
call it Usama?
Yeah. What about Isis, the fucking Greek god of love?
Oh, there's
like, goddess.
In Hyde Park in London, there's a whole, hey, welcome to Isis, the botanical garden. And it's kind of a bummer.
And also, isn't ISIS what they want to be called? It's you want to call them Daesh because they hate that name, apparently. Mm-hmm. So call them the thing they don't like. We're not friends with them.
Right.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple quick emails.
Okay.
Or an email. Brian, Ed, and Kate, who's been included on this email, so she gets to hear the Scoop It Up song as it's her favorite.
Oh, my God.
This week on Twitter.com, we saw an outpouring of support from the TBLS listenership in support of a future review of one of the best films ever, Boogie Nights. Whilst the majority of listeners support the idea of a Boogie Nights review, Ed is not into the idea. Above the objections of even show contributor Jason Stewart, a student of acting. I say just because Ed hates fun and good ideas doesn't mean the movie can't be reviewed. Especially during his six-month summer vacation, at the very least. As Boogie Nights is so prevalent this week, I figured we could get some mileage out of the film and maybe bring Ed back into the fold. First, we have a Daily's Choice.
Daily's Choice. It's a choice I make. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
If you're new to the show, Daily's Choice, that's a game we play where Ed walks up to a urinal. On either side of him are well-known people. He has only a brief second to glance. Whose cock is he checking out? Ed, Daily's Choice, Scotty, which of course is played by the great Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I legit get bummed out once a week that we do not get to see him perform anymore.
Agreed.
Versus Little Bill. Who's Little Bill?
Macy.
William H. Macy. Got
it. I think it's Macy.
I think so. Checking out, Ed?
I think Bill Macy has made it through a whole career with big dick energy.
Big time.
I mean, Hoffman was always the sad individual.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Macy. He's got the cock of the walk. I'm 100% going Little Bill on this one.
I know he was
a cuck in the movie.
Right. But that's his character.
That was his character.
Right.
I want to see what he's doing.
I feel like he's probably swinging a good sized hammer.
But
Kate McManus.
Kate, and I need Kate's input on
opinion?
This.
Yes.
The fact that I don't want to do Boogie Nights is I gave my reasons.
No, it's a you think
it's
the movie
a perfect
is
movie,
fantastic. Yes.
I don't want it to be the Chris Farley show. If you do, no. If you review a perfect movie,
yep.
And you can't say, "Oh, right there, that was kind of a homoerotic scene." Like if yeah. you do Rocky IV and you're like Apollo and Rocky hugging, it's weird what's going on here.
Yes.
In Boogie Nights, everything's intentional. It's a perfect movie. And then Jason Stewart's like, "You couldn't be more wrong. It's the greatest movie. I called it perfect."
What He's am I agreeing with you? Yes. Well, Jason, I mean, come on. We're talking about Jason. But I will say this. I totally get what you're saying. But we're definitely going to review Boogie
and
Nights
I'm
as soon
happy,
as we
I'm happy yes, to do it.
Of course.
I love yes. the movie. But, I'm just and I know, don't want it to turn into
it's
Chris Farley.
It's going
to
be more of a love fest.
Trust me, it won't. No.
Review.
No, it won't.
Cuz
there's so many funny things in that movie that you can that you can dissect where but also still praise the movie. So right. don't worry. Kay McManus?
So which gun?
Scotty? Scotty?
I'm probably going to go with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, you want to check out his?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just
want to kiss you.
I care a little to see either, but I would be interested to see what he was working with.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Next, Loudcomer.
Oh, this is my actual
Loudcomer.
Least favorite song. It's taking my earphones off.
Kay McManus. Okay, I've turned off the song. Okay, Kay McManus, I've turned off the song. Who is the loudest comer? We'll start with you.
I hate this.
Buck Swope, who's probably my favorite character. Stop calling it pornography. Versus, hold on. The Colonel, who doesn't love the Colonel? He likes him young. The Colonel versus Maurice. Which one's Maurice? Oh, Maurice is Luis Guzman.
Yeah, Luis Guzman. Great, great character actor.
Amazing. No, he's very good. He's good in everything. One of those guys that plays the same character every time,
yeah,
and it's fucking amazing.
But we all enjoy it.
He's so loud.
Oh, you think Luis Guzman? Because
he's so loud.
Is this kind of racist?
Vocal.
Because
no.
He's Puerto Rican, you think
he's
a loud
very
comer?
Loud. Oh. He's very loud all the time.
Unbelievable racism here. Ed, your choice. Buck Swope, Colonel, Maurice. Who of the three is the loudest comer?
I'm right there with Kate. He's a theatrical type. But the one weird fact I heard about him years ago is he feels like he should live in New York. He lives in like on a farm in New Hampshire, something or
oh,
if
gonna,
not New Hampshire,
say
like
Connecticut, yeah.
Vermont or something. He's
yeah, stunning, stunning development.
He feels like he should be in Brooklyn.
Totally, couldn't agree
but yeah,
more.
he's a latecomer for sure.
I'd go with the Colonel there. Like Buck Swope, he's a smooth dude. He fucks for a living.
Yeah,
Maurice,
it's high five.
I feel like he's got a smooth rap. The Colonel. He gets a little overzealous.
You think so, Doctor?
He likes to bring the young ones around. He likes to give them a little cocaine. Sometimes things don't go well. He's cashed up. I feel like he could get really overexcited and let one go. I feel like the Colonel would be the loudest comer. And then finally, we got the Scoop It Up game.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Chicken hands get the cluck and scoop it up, all y'all bitches get the suck and scoop
Whoa.
It up, scoop it up, play a hater still hate, scoop it up, give me that pussy, I ain't waiting,
oh
scoop it up,
oh
scoop it up, hold up, wait a minute, scoop it up, scoop it up, give me some pussy, I'm up in it, scoop it up, scoop it up, get the stripping on my table, scoop it up,
consent implied in the song, which is not, this is not the nature of scoop it up,
not a me too,
scoop it up, scoop it up comes from the fact where I said that Lori Loughlin in her prior to her trial.
Yeah, she'd stay on your couch, right?
Yeah, she's welcome to come sleep on the couch. And if she does, I might scoop that. That's all I'm saying. If she's here at the house, resting, I might scoop it up.
Okay, well, she'll probably want to have a say in that.
And the, of course.
Oh, she's with the Moscow guy. She doesn't.
You should
care
take that
anymore.
Into it.
Consent is implied, though. I'm not doing it like the guy in the song. I'm doing it like a fucking gentleman.
I'm not trying to like rain on your parade.
I'ma scoop that up.
But you're not,
Lori, Aunt Becky. Okay, scoop it up. Roller Girl, Amber Waves, or Becky Barnett. Becky Barnett, of course, Buck Swope's girlfriend. This, you can't go wrong. These are all scoopable chicks right here. I 100% would scoop them all up. Love Amber Waves. Julianne Moore.
Yep.
She's one of those. She's one of these women. She's almost 60 years old, and she only gets more beautiful.
Like sat she was 5 feet away from her at a restaurant last year. Like, less than 12 months ago, maybe 11 months ago. It was And
gorgeous.
I was at an Italian restaurant, and
scenes from an Italian restaurant with that daily.
But she. She legitimately looked very hot sitting there wearing like a winter hat. She looks great, and she's, you know, 50, high 50s.
I think she's 58. Was she with her handsome, much younger husband, Bart Freundlich?
He's very handsome.
Maybe that was it, but I was not looking Bart at Freundlich. Bart. I was looking at her. She looked great. Legit great.
Julianne Moore only gets more beautiful.
But
she's one of my all-time top ones. But
if
this,
I'm picking
scoop
one,
it up
I'm,
game.
I'm going Becky Barnett there.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I get where you're coming from there, Ed. And I also like that too. But just in terms of this movie, Heather Graham, Roller Girl.
Oh, Roller Girl.
Star turn. Her just beautiful, nubile young body is just on display the entire time. 100% would scoop. Roller Girl. Oh, Kate, a second scoop it up. This one just for you. Oh, no.
Do we have to play the song? Scoop it up. Scoop We've already had the song. Scoop, 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 I don't think we have to play the song again. Scoop it up. Scoop, scoop, scoop it up. Scoop it
up. Scoop it up. Okay, Kate. Scoop it up. Jack Horner, which is, of course,
the late Grace.
The late great Burt Reynolds, who apparently wasn't happy with this film.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because the previous 25 years of his career were pretty shitty, so he really didn't have good judgment.
Yeah, he got one good movie towards the end. Jack Horner, Buck Swope, of course. Don Cheadle, stop calling it pornography.
Who's the middle one?
I've only said two so far. Jack Horner, which is Burt Reynolds.
Just say who they are, the actors.
Oh, okay. Names. Well, you got to say their name. Or Reed Rothschild, John C. Reilly. Who are you scooping? That's easy.
It's easy.
It's easy.
Burt Reynolds?
Really?
Whoa.
I mean, it's kind of past his prime at that point. He was a babe.
What am I
back,
supposed to say?
I don't know.
There's no way Jack Horner had remotely good grooming back then.
Oh, you don't? Oh, because it was the 70s?
Yeah, Jack Horner.
It's a big white bush.
He's kind of old.
Yeah, he was very old.
It was Don King and Leg Lock.
Oh, you switch. Yeah, Don Cheadle is the one you go with. Buck Swope. Okay. Oh, he goes on. This email's not over. Also, does the group have thoughts on the hard seltzer epidemic going on? Our good friend Telly, love Telly, has lots of thoughts on them. Oh, he's drinking Claws every weekend. Ain't no laws when you're drinking Claws. Has lots of thoughts on him, but claims anything other than Claws makes you smell like a wino. Thanks for doing a great job with the show. As always, looking forward to a solid 4.57 ladle episode this week. That is from Dolomite. P.S. Fuck Guy Fieri. I have never had a Claw. I probably never will. Ed Daly, any thoughts on Claws? You're never drinking a Claw.
No.
What if you, have what we if you bought a Claw?
Is it just...
Zima.
It's Zima because I've never actually enjoyed seltzer as a like a soft drink. Like I don't like seltzer, so why would I ever have it?
It's Zima. It'd probably be good on ice with a couple of limes in it. Kate
I
McManus
feel like it has a artificial sweetener
taste.
Ain't no
loss.
I had a
sip of someone's, but it wasn't Claw, and it just didn't taste really like anything. Hmm. It was of no consequence.
Yeah, I probably won't drink that.
Okay, interesting. Okay, Kate, thanks for the emails, everybody. Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in fancy pop?
Okay, so I'm going to read you. Oh, yeah, play me in.
All
I like this song.
It's not because she's 69. Juggle nose and the beat is Korean hook fine. Oh, I hope Kate's got news to read. Because it's all I need.
That's a great one.
Guy's good. The guy's singing voice is just fucking beyond.
You know what? I am kind of sad that I didn't remember to get invited to a fun Halloween party where I could go as Tekashi 69. Tekashi.
Well, next year it's maybe it'll be like an in memoriam next year after he gets smoted by the bloods.
My dream costume.
Yeah, after he gets.
I want to do it right though.
Squished.
I want to do all the face tattoos and everything.
Yeah, it's cute.
Okay, I'm gonna read you a description of a celeb, one half of a celeb couple's relationship.
Okay.
We give each other a lot of attention. We date at least 3 times a week. We dance when we're alone. We're respectful of one another. We both value our good health. I never get tired of him.
Mm.
We laugh a lot. The moment I open my eyes in the morning, Alan says, I'm sorry, which always cracks me up. I've given you a hint there.
Alan.
We are each other's everything. I never had a night out with the girls, and Alan's never had a night out with the boys. We are lovers, parents, and business partners. We are best friends.
Alan, Mrs. Thick? Is it Mrs. Thick and her husband, Alan Thick's ghost?
Ex-Thick.
No, this is TV actress Suzanne Summers, 73 years old.
Whoa.
Talking about her marriage with husband Alan Hamill, 83.
Whoa.
I'd like to also tell you that they have sex twice a day with a little help from weekly shots of something called PT-141. A melanocortin-based peptide that generates sexual arousal.
What?
She says, I'm kind of in that groove. 73? Like when you were younger and you were in the mood all the time. And so is he because he's on hormone replacements.
Oh, I want to get on that. I've been wanting to get on that so I can get jacked.
Yeah, but you want to have sex twice a day when you're 73?
Now, one is the max. One is the, you just do one sesh. One good sesh. Yeah,
They're 73 and they're doing two?
That's too many. He's 83.
So while the couple typically has sex twice a day, Summers admitted that she struggles to stay awake for both rounds of intercourse.
What? Whoa, hold on.
She says, what? I usually say I sleep through one of them.
Yeah.
That's usually the one around 4 a.m.
What is going on?
Then again, around 8 a.m. in the morning, I'm in the mood.
Oh my God. 4 a.m. and 8 a.m.?
What?
Interesting.
Well, the olds, they go to bed really early.
Yeah, that's true.
Get up.
Yeah. At 4 a.m.
4 a.m., though.
And also, 8 a.m. So 8 a.m. is like midday for them.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have an occasional 4 a.m. urge, but if I struck on that, I'd be out of a life.
At 4 a.m. while she's asleep.
Yeah, that is what he's saying. Yeah. Hold on. This just in. We have an email related to this story. Mm. Brian and Ed, so he doesn't feel left out, you walk into a senior citizen center, and on one side you have 81-year-old protest queen Jane Fonda. In the other corner, working the thigh master, you have 73-year-old Suzanne Summers. You got one night of passionate love before one of them succumbs to a broken hip from falling in the shower while washing off your love lotion. Who you scooping?
Chicken hands, get the cluck, scoop it up. All y'all bitches get the suck, scoop it up.
Play a hand still, these lyrics.
Scoop it up. Give me that pussy.
Oh my God. This is awful. Whoa, that's a little heavy. Ed Daly, Jane Fonda, present day Jane Fonda versus present day Suzanne Summers. Who you getting some couch time with?
Based on what I just told you, I think we know.
Yeah, well, this is Ed's decision.
Okay.
I'm looking at the pictures.
In her day, Jane Fonda was.
There's no question.
her day was 50 years ago.
If Barbarella is on the...
Yes. Yeah. But it's not. It's present day.
It's not. And she's really gone the grandma route. And I'm not digging all of the 100%. Stifler's mom transformation that Suzanne Somers has gone. But she's still looking more ready to go.
Got to agree with you. I was a Terry guy, as I believe you were. Yes, she was Terry. She wasn't my favorite roommate on Three's Company, but given the choice today, like you got to pick one, I would go with Suzanne Somers, I suppose. But it's
I was a Terry guy, but I was definitely a Chrissy over Janet. Oh,
of course, of course, no question about that. Okay, Kate, back to your stories. What's going on in the world of pop culture?
This next story is about 29-year-old Harry Potter star Emma Watson.
Oh.
Who turns 30 in April.
She's still that young?
Yeah.
She's been famous for a long time.
Right. I feel a little creeped out about being sexually attracted to her years ago.
She's almost 30. You should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she was a child in those Harry Potter movies.
So. Well, I've never seen a Harry Potter movie, hashtag hetero.
You haven't?
But I've definitely seen her, and she's hot.
Yeah, yeah. You can see a Harry Potter movie if you're a hetero dude.
I know, but I've never seen one. Why would I see one?
Okay, so she told British Vogue that she's not single. She's, in fact, self-partnered.
Oh, my God.
She's what?
Say it again.
Something called self-partnered.
She's self-partnered.
She said, I never believed the whole unhappy single spiel.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Oh, because you like...
I don't like seeing the solo. Apple bag while I'm
You can't see dicks.
It's more than nuts. I don't want to see a dude's ball bag.
To make it even worse, she claims that she's coined the self-empowered term self-partnered or the concept of dating yourself. This has been around.
Well, she should uncoin it because it's fucking stupid.
This concept has been around for a long time. Beautiful Existence, a 42-year-old mother of two from Seattle who allegedly changed her name from Desiree Longabo, spent $7,000 to marry herself under the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Oh, is that the one that's... She's not married to the Eiffel Tower?
No, that's a different person.
Because that one's in an anonymous group with a friend of mine. Where you go and talk about things.
Marry an inanimate object.
Wait, anonymously.
That's a whole nother thing.
And he says she's doing much better now.
No, but what is your buddy into fucking?
I think he's just into fucking bottles of Southern Comfort. I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought your buddy is into marrying bottles of Southern
Comfort. No, he's fine, but he's... Okay. And apparently she's doing much better, but this isn't the one. This is someone that just got married near the Eiffel Tower, not to it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I may or may not have seen Emma Watson nude at the day spa last year.
Where?
This year?
What?
Brian didn't want me to talk about it at the time.
Oh, you probably shouldn't. Yeah.
Where was she naked?
I was at a Korean day spa in LA.
Yeah.
And she was in the Korean day spa.
Nude.
In the hot tub. In the hot springs section.
How's the bod?
Where the people have no clothes
on. How does she...
she also got ready right next to me.
Didn't she almost stole your flip-flops?
She put my flip-flops on and walked away with them
out
of the hot spring section to go to... Like, she was probably going to her massage. And I had to call out...
Emma Watson.
From the hot spring.
Yeah.
Hey... Stop. Those are my flip-flops.
Oh, my God.
And they had to come back and give them to me, and it was a whole thing.
My God. And so what was the
conclusion?
Are we talking racing stripe? We're talking Hitler mustache? We're talking full? We're talking natural?
I don't know if I'm comfortable talking about her.
How about the
breasts? It all looks good.
Yeah. Well, she's 29.
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, what else?
What else? Well, you guys love superhero movies, right?
The best.
Well, good news. Warner Brothers is currently negotiating with Colin Farrell to play the Penguin in the Matt Reeves directed The Batman.
Penguins.
He will round out a trio of villains going up against.
He's a good actor. Yep.
So I don't understand how this always works. There's always studios having dueling movies about the same thing that come out at the same time.
Well, for Batman, because I thought one studio owns it, right?
Right.
Oh, yes. Maybe I'm just reading this incorrectly. Maybe he's just joining a cast with Rob Pattinson.
Rob Pattinson's the new Batman.
Being Batman, Paul Dano is Riddler, and Zoe Kravitz is Catwoman.
Yeah, they were good actors. They were trying to get Jonah Hill, and he wanted too much money.
Really?
Yeah, to be the Penguin.
So the Penguin was last played by Danny DeVito in Tim Burton's Batman Returns in 1992. So it's been a long time since we've seen a Batman.
Not a great movie, but a fantastic performance by Danny DeVito in that movie. And also, this will be the first time, to my knowledge, unless Burgess Meredith was packing, that Penguin's going to have a fat dick because I've seen that.
Burgess Meredith definitely was bringing the BDE.
Probably. But I saw the Colin Farrell sex tape back when he was boozing. And for a dude that's like 5'5", my man is packing a fucking meat stick.
That sounds about right.
The dude is put together. Okay, Kate, what else?
Actress Jamie Lee Curtis, daughter of Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis, one of the all-time worst hair pieces you've ever seen in your life.
When he's described, he's the big Lothario, like, oh, Tony Curtis with the ladies. And when you'd see these interviews, you'd be like, this guy is definitely not fucking women.
I didn't even know that she was interested.
Wasn't he a song and dance man?
I mean, he gave off the vibe.
He was a good actor.
But
yeah.
But when you hear about him, he's like, oh, legendary Hollywood coxman.
Yeah, he fucked a lot.
I mean, he fucked a lot.
Yeah.
He was fucking Errol Flynn, maybe, but he was that not. That was all of them.
That was all of them back
apparently
then.
Apparently, he liked cocaine.
Yeah, who doesn't?
And had bit of a drug issue.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis also had a drug problem.
JLC.
She was prescribed some opiates for a minor cosmetic surgery. Yep. And she became addicted.
Got those titties, did.
Yeah, and back in 89. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she hid her habit from everybody, really.
Yeah.
She says, I'm breaking the cycle that has basically destroyed the lives of generations in my family. Getting sober remains my single greatest accomplishment, bigger than my husband, bigger than both of my children, and bigger than any work success,
She's
failure,
She's married
or anything.
To Christopher Guest.
Which I know yeah, some so stuff she, about
Yeah, so in Variety's new recovery issue, she talks about how she knew she had an issue. She knew her dad had an issue because she had an issue and they shared drugs.
Yep.
She said, I did cocaine and I freebased once with my dad.
Oh, my God.
That's not a which good is father
crazy.
Move.
It's
and one of her brothers actually died of a heroin overdose.
It's weird, like people that smoke weed with their parents. It's weird to me. I can't get into that. But smoking cocaine, I mean, that is like holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, Jamie, Ed, what you should have seen all the naked women Ed, I had to look out today. Holy.
What do you know about Christopher Guest that you dropped so cryptically?
No. It wasn't like something great as much as I've known a few people that have worked with him because when you're a director, like you also will just do random projects to make some money here and there. And yeah, very difficult. Like very.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, like I've heard he's just not a pleasant dude to work with.
I've heard he's like very unfunny.
Like yeah, those movies are great. I'm a big fan of you know, the Dog movie and Waiting for Guffman. But
oh yeah,
but Best in Show.
Mighty Wind.
Yeah, Mighty Wind. But yeah, he's like a joyless jerk to work with. Is what I've heard from like three different people.
I've heard that too. Okay, what else?
And the last part of this story is that Tony Curtis died at 85 of a cardiac arrest. He managed to get sober for a short period of time. It didn't last.
Oh, boring.
But he actually cut all five of his surviving children out of his will.
What?
So he's a real miserable bastard.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's an Aaron Spelling.
Who are you going to give it to, you son
probably
of a bitch?
Like his fucking housekeeper.
Oh, my God. Is that it, Kate?
And my favorite story of the week.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves debuted a new girlfriend on the red carpet who was mistaken for Helen Mirren on Twitter.
Yes.
By quite a few people.
Keanu Reeves is the best.
Yeah, and he's really aging well in terms of interviews and stuff. He's getting more lovable by the day.
He's 55. When's that new Bill and Ted come out?
I'm confused, though, because this article says that the relationship with Grant, 46.
Yeah, they're business partners. Oh, you did the finger quotes with the 46 on her,
she
I noticed.
She doesn't look 46.
Well, she's got the gray hair.
She hasn't
she's
colored her hair, but she looks good.
Yeah. She looks older. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. The gray hair. I wouldn't say she's...
Is it just the hair?
Classically beautiful.
No, but I think she's a good-looking woman in this picture I'm looking at.
She's okay.
Anyway, I'm here for it. Good for you, Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu,
lovely person.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I'm a big fan.
Kate, you know this jam right here? I slipped and fell in love. Assessment. Are we presently listening to a Bob, yes, Bob or no Bob? Kate McManus. She's just ignoring me.
This feels like the type of song that you would hear as Uncle Buck is walking through the bar.
Yeah, it's 80s. It's very of a time. And it's a fucking Bob. Kate McManus, Bob or no Bob?
What's the question? Do I know this song? Yeah.
How many times do I have to ask it? Is this song a bop?
Is it what? I can't hear.
Okay. It's a bop. That's it. Great job all the way around. Everybody involved. For Ed Daly. For Kate McManus. With the other woman. My name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 293 of the podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
The lifestyle's baller, podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus, you know there's Kate with a C, but she's known as Fancy Pop to you and me. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.